is that his word is a mirror in which many sorts of people can recognize themselves. His verses reflect and crystallize, more than any other book in Persian literature, the moods, the desires, the inclinations, the sorrows and deep problems of Iranians. The Divan-e Hafez, or his collected works of poems, can be found in the houses of almost all Iranians. And after the Holy Quran, the Divan-e Hafez is the second most widely purchased and widely read book in Iran. His collected poems, or Divan-e Hafez, will be found almost certainly on the Haftsin table for the Iranian New Year, Nowruz, as well as for betrothal and marriage ceremonies throughout Iran. Cupbearer, arise and give me the cup of mirth. Bury the grief of time beneath the dark earth. Lay the balmy wine in my palm and I will tear apart the deceptive blue garment of the Sufi upstart. Although wise men consider me of ill fame, neither reputation I seek nor a good name. Hafez's mausoleum or tomb in the city of Shiraz in southern Iran is a great architectural masterpiece. The influence of Hafez's poetry on non-Iranians is also quite astonishing. The German poet and philosopher Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was highly influenced by Hafez and is considered one of Hafez's most ardent and most enthusiastic followers in Europe. In fact, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe was so captivated by Hafez that he decided to learn Persian or Farsi language to read and appreciate the highly intricate and subtle poetry of Hafez in its original Persian. Rather famously, after Goethe's death in 1832, a piece of paper was found on his writing desk, upon which was written two lines from one of Hafez's most well-known poems or ghazals. 200 years ago, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe released the West Eastern Divan, which is a collection of poems in Persian style with inspirations from Hafez. In the West Eastern Divan, Goethe tries to make the understanding of the two peoples closer to each other and show that man should develop his nature. Goethe came across a translation of Hafez when he was about 65 years old, which changed his life. Hafez, the biggest Iranian poet, had a huge impact on Goethe's life. Some experts have argued that the popularity and longevity of Hafez's poetry goes back to the fact that Hafez has used the thoughts and ideas of poets before himself to refine his own poetry. Poets like Saadia Shirazi, Omar Khayyam, and Jalaluddin Muhammad Balkhi or Rumi. Hafez primarily wrote in the literary genre of lyric poetry or ghazals, that is, the ideal style for expressing the ecstasy of divine inspiration in the mystical form of love poets. He was a Sufi or mystic. Adaptations, limitations and translations of Hafez's poems exist in many of the world's major languages.
the wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
I have three priorities for our economy. Growth, growth, and growth.
Flip-flopping and humiliating U-turn are the terms used by members of parliament and various media outlets on Liz Truss's 180 on her 45% tax cut for the rich. Truss and her chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng thought that a tax cut for the rich would create more jobs and then eventually lead up to tax cuts for the general public as a part of her trickle-down economic plans in what is being referred to in the media as mini-budget.
How is that fair that you get a tax cut of over 2,000 while people on average income see much less?
So everybody is getting a tax cut, and the situation that we were in was we were putting up taxes. That was the immediate situation that we were in. We were facing a situation where the tax burden was at a 70-year high, and that was completely unacceptable. The Prime Minister campaigned for the leadership on the basis that we were going to reduce taxes, and that's exactly what we've done.
Truss and Kwarteng were quickly forced to turn back on their decision as the plan was received very poorly by Truss's own Tory party, who threatened to vote against the tax cuts.
Direct comments are on market movements, but what is good for the economy?
Who caused it?
What is good for the economy?
The tax cuts would have been the largest set of unfunded tax cuts for the rich in over 50 years and a huge gamble on public finances and the health of UK economy, according to Welsh Finance Minister Rebecca Evans. When the news broke out about her tax cut plans, the British pound hit a record low against the dollar, prompting a $73 billion budget allocation by Bank of England to shore up the markets before the pound partially recovered. The British Premier, however, blamed communication errors in how the package was presented, and some communication error that was, the kind that shocked markets and voters and couldn't get her the support she needed by her own Conservative Party before she had to back off on it. The controversy in her economic plan comes after the worst start to a new administration in recent memory in the UK, with people already questioning how long Britain's new Prime Minister will remain in office. One might even say trust is fading in Truss. The UK's GDP growth has been on a slow but steady decline since 2014, from 1% down to 0%. It was the pandemic, however, that completely flatlined the UK economy, causing the single biggest slump in its GDP since its GDP was recorded in 1961. By extension, according to the Office for National Statistics, the UK consumer price inflation hit just over 10% in the 12 months to July. That is the highest inflation rate in the country since the early 80s. Things aren't much different outside the UK, across the Green Continent. Certainly the pandemic caused its own set of problems for European economy, but perhaps it was the Ukraine war and the subsequent food and energy crisis that really cemented Europe's ongoing and expected economic downturn. Drastic plans to manage the crisis is being implemented across Europe. 3-hour power cuts to homes and businesses are expected during this winter in the UK. Germany rationed hot water, dimmed streetlights, and shut down swimming pools. French people are using more and more wood and less gas to heat their homes. Buildings in Italy will have 15 extra days without central heating. This all begs the question, is the insistence of the West on prolonging the Ukraine war really worth the damages it is causing their economy and their people? In the mid-90s, the US was involved in the Cold War with the Soviet Union, but that was a nuclear arms race. Now, however, Washington is fighting another Cold War, with China this time, and in the digital space, a fight for technological superiority. In late August 2022, Washington restricted sales of high-end and sophisticated chips to China and Russia. Top chip designers based in the US have even reported that they have been told to limit sales of their high-end chips. One of the manufacturers, NVIDIA, one of the largest graphical process unit makers in the world, has even revealed through an SEC filing that Washington fears there is a risk that the products may be used militarily in China and Russia. The US says the restrictions are aimed at keeping advanced technologies out of the wrong hands. Meanwhile, China has slammed the restrictions, stating that the US is trying to impose a technological blockade. Beijing added that Washington aims to maintain its technological hegemony through the latest restrictions. The latest round of tensions between China and the US could also present an explanation for Washington's increasing interest in Taiwan. The Biden administration has so far tried to further strengthen its ties with Taiwan, and this has been clearly demonstrated in many cases, the two most notable being top US officials traveling there and Washington offering billions in subsidies to a Taiwanese company if it stops selling its advanced semiconductor chips to China. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, or TSMC, is the largest and most advanced chip manufacturing factory in the world, and Biden's push to stop the sales to Beijing only proves the US's aims that it seeks to impose a technological blockade and maintain or even strengthen its hegemony. The host of measures that Washington is taking to stop Beijing from getting its hands on high-end technology could amount to the biggest shift in US policy on shipping technology to China since the 1990s. The expansion of US powers to control exports of chips made with US tools to China is based on a broadening of the so-called foreign direct product rule. This is the same principle that gave the US authority to control the export of chips made overseas to Chinese telecoms giant Huawei Technologies, and later to stop the flow of semiconductors to Russia. But the question is whether this will be effective or will it backfire, similar to many other unilateral measures that the US has taken over the past years. Some experts say Washington's move will set the Chinese back. But some, including top American officials in the US, say the unilateral controls being put into place will lose effectiveness over time, and the effort could backfire if other countries don't join Washington. The most recent US blockade is aimed at preventing technology from being used by America's military rival. But these chips have a wide range of applications. Even if the blockade ends up being as effective as the US wants it to be, it is only a matter of time before China begins manufacturing its own high-end chipsets, as well as semiconductors, and eventually becoming self-reliant. It started in February 2022, and there seems to be no end in sight. While the Ukrainian military has made some advances, Russia still controls some 20% of the country, and there's nothing that suggests that this war is winding down. The Ukrainian military is backed up by Western weapons and Western intelligence gathering, which tells them where Russian soldiers are and where their bases are located. In the latest in its long list of support for Ukraine, the US Congress has passed another aid for Kiev, which amounts to some $12 billion. And this is on top of nearly $50 billion sent there in the past year. But apart from all the weapons, cash, and intelligence sent,
and given to Ukraine, reports are emerging that the U.S. has sent men on the ground there. A recent report released by an American news organization, The Intercept, stated that the U.S. Special Operations Forces are on the ground in Ukraine as part of a broad covert operation that includes CIA personnel. According to the report, before the Russian special military operation, the CIA believed Ukraine would fall quickly and so withdrew most of its forces and assets. But later on, as the war lengthened, the CIA began to believe that that wouldn't happen, and Washington sent its covert assets back into Ukraine. But all this back and forth between Russia and Ukraine and the West's unilateral support for Kiev has given rise to a new crisis, one which doesn't only involve the two warring sides anymore, and that is nuclear warfare. On Thursday, at a fundraiser in New York, U.S. President Joe Biden made an extraordinary and, as some say, highly alarming comments about the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war and the threat of a nuclear war. Biden said the risk of nuclear Armageddon is at its highest point since the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. But the question which comes to mind is whether this admission is a result of the Biden administration's policy of supporting Ukraine in a war on Russia's border or Moscow's actions so far. Russian President Vladimir Putin has spoken out about using nuclear weapons, but never directly stated that he will use them. During his speech, however, Biden stated that Putin is not joking when he talks about the use of tactical nuclear weapons. The last time the U.S. was faced with such a situation was the Cuban Missile Crisis, which then President John F. Kennedy resolved through negotiations and striking a deal with Cuba. Biden, however, has so far shown no signs of walking back on its policies regarding Ukraine, and this has been clear in the U.S. not showing any interest in diplomacy and virtually cutting off all high-level talks. Not only this, Biden has time and again reiterated his support for Kiev, and the billions of dollars of aid is only a demonstration of the fact. Following the West's unconditional and unilateral support, Kiev has also pushed matters a step further and is now calling for strikes on Russia. Also, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, called for NATO to launch what he called a preventive strike on Russia to prevent Moscow from using nuclear weapons. But this has raised questions about Kiev's ambitions and the chances that the move would spark World War III and possibly a nuclear war. The Kremlin also responded to the comment and said Zelensky was trying to spark a world war. The remark gave birth to internal disputes in Kiev, with Ukrainian officials downplaying what Zelensky said. Now, as the world is faced with several economic, social, and environmental challenges, the warmongering aspirations of the U.S. and its allies seem to have pushed humanity to the point of no return. But many, including Washington and Kiev, seem to be more focused on pushing their own agenda forwards, regardless of what's at stake.
As the crisis in Ukraine is getting worse, chances for a diplomatic solution to the war are looking slim. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has signed a decree that formally declares the prospect of any Ukrainian talks with Kremlin leader Vladimir Putin, quote, impossible. The decree also approves the decision of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council to strengthen Ukrainian defense. The decree came after Russia annexed four regions of Ukraine into its own territory. President Putin has just signed into law four unification treaties with the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, as well as the Kherson and Zaporozhye region. Russia says Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics split from Ukraine in 2014 following what Kremlin describes as the Maidan coup. Russia's decision to incorporate the regions into its own territory comes amid reports of Ukraine's military advances. According to President Zelensky, Ukrainian forces have retaken dozens of villages from Russia in the east and the south of the country. However, the latest maps revealed by Moscow showed Russian troops had already left many areas in Kherson and northeastern Kharkiv region.
Тільки за цю добу на Херсонщині від псевдореферендуму було звільнено і стабілізовано такі населені пункти, як Нововоскресенське, Новогригорівка і Петропавлівка. Рух продовжує.
Ukraine is now trying to make further inroads in the south and east before the colder weather arrives. Russia is trying to deploy the 300,000 reservists called up in a partial mobilization 2 weeks ago. But that would take some time before it can be operational. The developments come as the U.S. is sending more weapons into Ukraine.
This morning, President Biden spoke with President Zelensky to underscore that the United States will never recognize Russia's purported annexation of Ukrainian territory and will continue to support Ukraine as it defends itself from Russian aggression. President Biden informed President Zelensky that the United States is providing a new $625 million security assistance package to Ukraine as they continue to defend their country from Russia's invasion.
The new $625 million military package approved by the Biden administration includes additional weapons and equipment, including HIMARS, artillery systems and ammunition, and armored vehicles. The United States has now sent Ukraine more than $16.8 billion in military hardware. Russia has now warned that the shipment of new military hardware to Ukraine will risk direct confrontation with the United States. The supply of military products by the U.S. and its allies not only entails protracted bloodshed and new casualties, but also increases the danger of a direct military clash between Russia and Western countries. Concerns are now rising over a possible nuclear confrontation between nuclear-armed states. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has already warned that his threat to use nuclear weapons is not a bluff. The war in Ukraine has already caused a crisis for the European Union. Energy prices have soared and the rising cost of living is putting many Europeans into poverty.
We have now to limit this inflationary impact of gas on electricity and everywhere in Europe. This is why we are ready to discuss a cap on the price of gas that is used to generate electricity. This cap would also be a first step on the way to a structural reform, an overall reform of our electricity market.
There are now signs that the support for Ukraine amongst Europeans is dropping. A survey by Opinions pollster has revealed that 60% of EU's population were on board with sending weapons to Kiev. The number was 64% back in March. It now appears that the lingering crisis in Ukraine could lead to social unrest across the continent. European leaders are concerned over the rise of far-right groups, which could potentially create cracks within the anti-Moscow coalition in Brussels.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, respected listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. And here we are again with some of our students from Sevier International School, Brother Hussein Rohullah and Fawad Haider and Brother Hassan Nasrullah. And I'm going to say hello to them, inshallah. Then we will be here with you with our next session. So, hello, Hussein Rohullah. How are you doing?
Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Assalamu
alaikum. Fine, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine.
How are you? Alhamdulillah. I'm good. Hassan Nasrullah, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. So, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. So, today, inshallah, the same as our previous sessions, we'll be working on one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah and we'll, inshallah, carry on. So, Fawad Haider, Hussein Rohullah, and Hassan, and all our respected brothers and sisters who are listening to us, inshallah, today we'll be working on Ayah 30 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. Before we start, let's everyone listen to this Ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa idh qala rabbuka lil malaikati inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون.
So thank you. Now Fawad, Hussein, Hassan, I will be reciting inshallah, okay? You have to repeat after me. Deal? All right?
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً
وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً
قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء
قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء
ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك
ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك
قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون
قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. From now on, okay, this ayah is a bit different from the previous ayahs, okay? So the topic is gonna be a little bit changed. So, وَإِذْ قَالَ, in this ayah, Allah Almighty talks about the caliphate, okay? That he is going to appoint a caliph, okay? A successor on the earth, okay? Actually, if we say that Allah Almighty is gonna appoint a successor or a caliph on the earth, so does it mean like Allah needs something? Hussein? Huh?
No,
Allah Almighty does not need something, okay? Anything, like he has to ask somebody else to do something for him. No, okay? He does not need. So the world that he has created is the world of means. You know means? Like things are going to be done, okay, by something else. So for example, if you are, for example, you get sick, okay? And if you, for example, eat or drink a glass of milk, okay, a cup of milk with some honey. So that makes you feel better. That gives you shifa, that gives you cure. Does it mean that it was the honey that gave you shifa? No. It was Allah Almighty. But Allah Almighty has put the shifa, the cure in that honey. That's by the mean of that honey, he cures you, okay? So it does not mean that he is kind of, for example, Allah Almighty is weak, so he can't do. Allah has power over everything, okay? So if Allah Almighty sends us prophets, sends angels to the prophets, okay, to deliver the messages, it's because we are in need of Allah Almighty. He's blessing us, okay? And look, he is blessing everyone, okay? Like he is going to, for example, buy me, okay? He's gonna use me, help a poor person, for example, okay? It's because of this that that poor person has to achieve something, and I have to as well achieve something. Look, he's blessing me. Okay, if I help that poor person, okay, I will get a level of perfection. I will get better position in the heavens. Yes. So look, he is doing it because of his mercy. If he could, for example, give that poor person something, okay, but he's trying to use me by the mean of me, okay, he's gonna help that person. What? For example, we can say like he is going to kill two birds with one shot.
Yes.
For example, like that, okay? So, caliphate, Allah Almighty is going to appoint a caliph on earth. So, this what does caliph mean? Caliph means a successor. So, everyone cannot be a successor on earth, okay? Khalifatullah. So, there are special people. Who are they? The prophets and?
The imams.
The infallibles.
Yes.
All right? So, I want you, inshallah, to refer to this tafsir book for this ayah, okay? It has a long explanation. So Allah Almighty is going to appoint on earth, not in the heaven. A lot of people say that we were in the heavens. We were taken out of the heavens, okay? No, we were supposed to come to the earth, not to the heavens. Finally, we'll go to the heavens, inshallah. So, إِنِّي جَعْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. When your Lord say to the angels, indeed, I'm going to set a viceroy on the earth, a caliph on the earth. They said, the angels said that, will you set in it someone who will cause corruption in it and shed blood while we celebrate your praise, while we do the tasbih of you, okay, and proclaim your sanctity okay? It means we are we glorify you, okay? And he said, Allah Almighty said that, inni a'lamu wa la ta'lamun, indeed I know what you do not know. So this is a long story of the Prophet Adam alayhi salam, the creation of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and the angels. Make sure you refer to the Tafasir book for more explanation, okay?
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So now let's go to the Tajweed rules of this ayah. So ready, Hassan, Hussein, and Fawad?
Yes.
Okay, the first thing, وَإِذْ قَالَ.
Yes.
قَالَ. The pronunciation of the letter?
قَاف.
And
زَال.
ذَال. So, yes. قَا has a heavy sound. وَإِذْ قَالَ. Not وَإِذْ قَالَ. No. وَإِذْ قَالَ. If you pronounce it وَإِذْ قَالَ, it's kind of weird. It's not Arabic, is it?
No.
No. وَإِذْ قَالَ. This is how Arabs speak, yeah? ربك للملائكة ملائكة ألف مد and همزة both are in the same word so مد الواجب المتصل واجب المتصل so we have to stretch it so can you stretch it for what for six counts وإذ قال
وإذ قال ربك للملائكة
سبحان الله أحسن ما شاء الله ما شاء الله إني جاعل جاعل تنوين في it's fa
yes
what rule is applying
إخفاء
Alhamdulillah you're now so good at doing it yes a single question I ask you you can now answer without any hesitation so that's how it means you've Alhamdulillah improved here in these classes so إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. We say that if ta marbuta is there, okay? That خليفة ha two dots on the top. It's called ta marbuta حسن, all right? So خليفة. Whenever you see this letter, a word ending in this letter, so any حركات it has doesn't matter, okay? It's تنوين فتحة, not حركات. تنوين ضمة, تنوين كسرة, or any of those three vowel sounds. فتحة كسرة ضمة whatever it has on the top it will be changed to سكون and the ta marbuta itself will be changed to
ha. What about if it has ساكن already it is ساكن
it's ساكن then
تشديد no matter
we don't, yeah like for example in Surah Al-Qari we have ما هي the ha has a سكون on the top okay it's not ta marbuta but ha if it has a سكون on the top we are going to make it ساكن so if it is if it has sakin, that's great then. We don't need to change it to sukun because it is sakin. Yes? So, how do you say? Khalifatan. How do you say, Hassan?
Khalifatan.
Okay, how do you stop when you stop? How do you say this? So, how do you say when you stop?
Khalifa.
Ahsan. Khalifa. That's it. Great. Qalu. Qalu ataj'alu. Hamza. Here also we have Walmad. Are they in the same word? Qalu Wow. Atajalu. Are they in the same word?
No.
Ja is muntasil. You can stretch the sound. Qalu Atajalu. Or you do not stretch it. Qalu Atajalu fiha. Okay. Atajalu. Hussein. أتجعل جيم الساكن what rule is applied
جيم أتجعل
yeah what rule is applied جيم الساكن
قلقلة
قلقلة قطب جد letters okay أن تجعل فوان how do you say this
أتجعل
أحسن أتجعل superb أتجعل فيها مي يفسد مي فوان حسن حسين what rule is applied مي
الدغام
إدغام with غنى or without
with غنى
with غنى من يفسد فيها ويسفك ويسفك الدماء ها مد الواجب مد الواجب
متصل
دماء ألف مد and حمزة both are in the same word alright
I have a question
yeah
Herein may yufsidu. Mm-hmm. We kind of hide noon too.
No, we do not hide noon. We don't merge it actually to yeah.
Like may.
May, look, noon is no longer there. You have merged it to ya and it became ya. May. It means you change that noon to ya, to double, it becomes like two double ya we have. May. You've said of ya. So, wa yasfiku dimaa wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdik wa nuqaddisu lak. There is no other rule that salah is there, that it tells you that it's better to continue. Yes? Salam is better to continue. Qalam is better to stop. So it's better to continue. Qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lam. A'lamu. Try to say, do not say a'lamu. A'lamu. There is no other rule. So alhamdulillah, we finished this ayah. Hussein, Hassan and Fawad, do you have any question?
No, sir.
No. No.
Okay, thank you. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for listening to us. Please make sure you practice. And you also refer for more explanation of the tafsir section, okay, to the tafsir books, inshallah. Thank you so much. Thanks to Allah Almighty. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Xavier International School, especially the students of Xavier International School and the teacher. Thank you. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with us. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fajr.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature. Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to offload. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Irshan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Irshan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Irshan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.